there, my lovely listeners. It's your pal Lo here. I'm thrilled that you could join me for another episode of Lounging with Lo. If this is your first time tuning in, I want to say welcome aboard the team. And to all my devoted listeners out there, it's wonderful to have you back. I'd love to connect with you on my social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. We can explore exciting content and engage in thoughtful discussions about my work and ideas. Your feedback is very valuable to me, so please don't hesitate to reach out via email. I'm eager to hear your thoughts about my work, maybe suggestions for future episodes, or any ideas that can help me improve on my show. In today's episode, we're going to be diving into the anniversaries of two iconic pop culture media franchises, The Matrix and The Office US. We'll explore the hidden gems of both the actors and actresses and the films and TV show themselves, and we're also going to be unraveling the underlying themes that resonate with the audiences. As I always emphasize, if you are unfamiliar with either franchise, I strongly advise that you pause the podcast and go watch them before continuing, because there will be some spoilers ahead. Let's first talk about The Matrix, shall we? Here's the best way to explain this movie before we even start the discussion. Imagine waking up one day and you suddenly realize from the time that you were born until that moment, the life that you thought you knew, your job, the relationships that you discovered or had, your own reality of what the world is, was all just a simulation that was controlled by machines. That's the mind-bending world of The Matrix. The film was released on March 31st, 1999, which will be celebrating its 26-year anniversary. And it revolves around a non-existent world where Thomas Anderson, who is played by Keanu Reeves, leads a double life. By day, he's a computer programmer, but by night, he transforms into the renowned hacker named Neo. Morpheus, who is played by Lawrence Fishburne, a man of great significance, is also on the hunt for Neo. Morpheus and Trinity, who is played by Carrie Ann Moss, lead a group of rebels embarking on a mission to warn Neo of unavoidable danger and guide him on a quest to uncover the truth about the Matrix. Morpheus, following a prophecy, believed that he had found the Savior, or the One, which would be Neo, who would bend the rules of the Matrix and free humankind. While Neo learns the truth about the Matrix from Morpheus, which is a simulated reality created by intelligent machines intended to enslave humanity and use their bodies as an energy source, Agent Smith, who is played by Hugo Weaving, seeks to hinder the resistance and maintain control over the Matrix. Now, joining the resistance, Neo undergoes training in martial arts and learns to manipulate the Matrix's rules alongside Morpheus and his team. As Neo's abilities grow and he embraces his new life, he grapples with doubts about Morpheus's prophecy. Ultimately, Neo's faith in the prophecy deepens, but more significantly, he gains unshakable belief in his own abilities and defeats Agent Smith. The cast of the film delivered an exceptional performance, and we're going to be diving into some of the actors who contributed significantly to its popularity. Keanu Reeves, born in Beirut, Lebanon in 1964, has embarked on a journey of diverse experiences, which means he moved from Sydney, Australia until the age of 3, New York City until the age of 6, and settled in Toronto, Canada until the age of 21. Now, despite facing challenges in school and attending 4 different high schools, including one that was dedicated to the arts, he ultimately left to pursue his passion for acting. His acting career took off with a 1984 appearance in an episode of the comedy series Hanging In, which centered around teen counselors addressing issues affecting young people at a youth drop-in center in their neighborhood. His film debut came in 1986 with the movie Youngblood, which was set in the world of junior hockey in Canada. Later that year, he portrayed a rebellious teen in the drama River's Edge, and a son of an alcoholic father played by Andy Griffith in the TV movie Under the Influence. Keanu, renowned for his iconic roles in the slacker comedy Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure in 1989 and the blockbuster film Speed in 1994, projected him to stardom. In the film Speed, he played a bomb expert alongside the legendary Sandra Bullock, which solidified his status as an action hero. This success paved the way for his breakthrough role in The Matrix, which spawned a franchise of sequels. Now, did you guys know that his name holds significance in the Hawaiian culture? His name, Keanu, means cool breeze over the mountains. Pretty cool, huh? Lawrence Fishburne, a renowned actor, began his illustrious career at the tender age of 14 in the 1975 film Cornbread, Earl, and Me. This heartbreaking movie delves into the life of a 12-year-old boy grappling with the profound impact of his friend, a star basketball player's tragic murder. Now, throughout his career, Fishburne had the privilege of collaborating with some of the most celebrated directors in the industry. He worked with Francis Ford Coppola in two iconic films, Apocalypse Now in 1979 and Rumblefish in 1983. Interestingly, he had to resort to a little bit of deception to secure the role in the Apocalypse Now film. That deception was he had to lie about his age. He also collaborated with Steven Spielberg in the film Color Purple in 1985 with the ensemble of Danny Glover, Whoopi Goldberg, and Oprah Winfrey, and Spike Lee in the film School Daze in 1988, and that's Daze. And if you remember from the March Madness episode, we talked about Samuel L. Jackson, he also filmed this movie as well, or starred in the movie as well. Lawrence Fishburne's career took off in the 90s, delivering memorable performances in films like What's Love Got to Do with It in 1993. This biopic, he portrayed Ike Turner, who is a legendary musician, along with the infamous and late Tina Turner, whose real name was actually Anna Mae Bullock. Tina Turner rose to fame alongside Ike Turner. Now, Lawrence Fishburne and Angela Bassett, who plays Tina Turner, their on-screen chemistry and the film's exploration of their hectic relationship, which was Ike and Tina, earned Fishburne an Academy Award nomination for Best Actor. He continued to showcase his talent in 1995 by making film history as the first African-American to play Othello in a Shakespearean film adaptation. Later that year, he joined the Matrix franchise, starring in The Matrix and its sequels. In the 2000s, he starred in other films and TV shows such as Aquila and the Bee, where he played a professor who coaches a young girl to compete in a national spelling bee. He also starred in Man of Steel, who again is made TV history as being the first African-American actor to portray Perry White, who was the Daily Planet's newspaper editor and employer of Clark Kent. He reprised his role in the Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, and he was also in the TV show CSI, or Criminal Scene Investigation, from 2008 to 2011. Additionally, he is an ambassador for the United Nations Children's Emergency Fund, or UNICEF. Now, UNICEF is an agency of the United Nations that provides educational, health, and humanitarian assistance to children worldwide. Carrie Ann Moss. She was born with the arts gene. She grew up in British Columbia, where her mother was involved in musical theater. Now, as a teenager, she commuted from her hometown and had to go across town to Vancouver's McGee, secondary school to assist in the drama department, and excelled in the choir. Now, however, she didn't get a lead role in a musical during the 12th grade, but instead landed the second lead. During an interview in 2015, she surprisingly said that, she found joy in being a supporting character, which helped her cope with inevitable rejections that she faced. She was working as a waitress when she was 14, and at the age of 18, she embarked on a career in modeling after relocating to Toronto. Later, she pursued acting studies at the respected American Academy of Dramatic Arts in Pasadena, California, where she secured roles in both Canadian and American television series. She landed her first recurring role in the Spanish television series titled Dark Justice in 1991. Later in her career, she graced the screens in numerous high-profile series, including L.A. Law in 1993, Baywatch in 1994, and the comedy drama Due South in 1996. However, it was her role in The Matrix that has cemented her legacy. Her performance in the movie earned her 2 prestigious awards, Best Actress in a Leading Role and Best Newcomer in 2000. Hugo Weaving, the last actor we're going to discuss, was born in Nigeria but relocated to South Africa, then Great Britain, and eventually settled in Australia in 1976. A graduate of the National Institute of Dramatic Art in 1981, he made his film debut in the 1980 movie Maybe This Time. His breakthrough came in 1983 with the film The City's Edge. In 1991, he won the Australian Film Institute, or AFI, award for Best Actor in a Leading Role for his performance in the film named Proof. Weaving continued his successful career in the 1990s, lending his voice to the beloved sheepdog Rex in the 1990 film Babe. His performance in The Interview, which was in 1998, further solidified his status, earning him a 2nd AFI Award for Best Actor in a Leading Role and the prestigious Australian Star of the Year Award. Weaving's adaptability is evident in his portrayal of the elf Elrond in the acclaimed Lord of the Rings and Hobbit trilogies. However, his most iconic role is certainly that of Agent Smith in the Matrix trilogy. Interestingly, Weaving has made appearances in 5 films that have been nominated for the most important Oscar, which would be Best Picture. That would be Babe, Lord of the Rings trilogy from 2001-2003, and Hacksaw Ridge in 2016. Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, won the award in the Best Picture category for the Oscar. Now, here are some hidden gems of the movie that I think you guys may not be aware of. I wasn't aware of them either, so thank God for research. In the iconic scene where Neo chooses either the blue pill or the red pill, the blue pill represented staying in the Matrix and believing whatever he wanted to believe, while the red pill symbolized accepting reality outside of the Matrix. They wanted the red pill to originally be intended to be blue, but the director decided to make the change to red to symbolize danger and awakening, while the blue pill remained to represent comfort and submission. Now, I'm sure all of my Matrix watchers have seen the film, so you're wondering, well, what in the world is that code? Well, I'm just going to tell you that. It's actually based on sushi recipes. Yes, you heard me correctly, sushi recipes. We have Simon Whiteley, who is the visual designer, to thank for that. He is responsible for creating the code. It consists of scanned characters from his wife's Japanese cookbook, which were then modified to achieve the digital rain effect. Another interesting fact is that Keanu Reeves was actually recovering from neck surgery. He had undergone a 2-level fusion of his cervical spine, which caused paralysis in his leg just before filming the movie. To compensate, he worked closely with the stunt coordinator to modify some of his fight scenes, focusing more on upper body movement and hand-to-hand combat while limiting the use of high kicks. This film introduced what we call the bullet time effect. Now, the bullet time effect is where the camera rotates around a frozen action scene. This technique combines motion capture, CGI, and practical effects to create a now iconic cinematic moment. This effect has been parodied in over 20 different films. One I think I see more often is on the Shrek, the first one. This movie, though sometimes can be a little bit confusing, it does explore several key themes here. The central theme revolves around the struggle between reality and illusion. The simulated world is meticulously crafted to maintain humanity's ignorance, while the real world is a harsh and dismal place to exist. Neo's journey from illusion to reality represents an awakening to the truth and a freeing of the illusion he's been perpetually trapped in. Additionally, the movie goes into the concept of free will versus control. The machines wield control over humanity by manipulating their minds, while the human resistance fought for freedom and the choice that Neo faced, the red pill, which was the truth of the Matrix, or the blue pill, which is ignorance and continued existence within the Matrix. This struggle symbolizes the ongoing battle, again, between free will and external forces. Furthermore, the movie explores the theme of self-discovery and identity through Neo's transformation from the deceived hacker to the One. This classic hero's journey involves overcoming self-doubt and embracing his true potential to lead the fight against the machines. Let's put our mind at ease now and let's talk about one of the world's most popular TV shows, I think. The Office US version. This show debuted on March 24th, 2005. So it's going to be celebrating 20 years of being on the when it debuted its first episode. I think it's amazing. Have you ever wondered what it's like to work in the most awkward, hilarious, and occasionally heartwarming office in America? Well, that's precisely what made this series a comedy goldmine. The Office is a mockumentary-style sitcom that follows the employees of Dunder Mifflin, a struggling paper company based in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Through its documentary-style filming, the show captures the daily lives, quirky personalities, and awkward interactions of the office staff. The mockumentary format adds a unique charm by having characters occasionally break the fourth wall and address the camera directly, creating both comedic and cringe-worthy moments. So you're curious about what to expect from this show. I get it. Well, let me tell you something. When you first watch season one, especially, you know, it's gonna feel really slow and maybe a little bit dry and awkward. But if you keep watching until the very end, you're gonna see the characters grow. You might even find yourself rooting for a few of those characters. So just stick with it. We have four key characters from the show. Michael Scott, who is played by Steve Carell, the well-meaning but socially awkward boss of Dunder Mifflin. Jim Halpert, who is played by John Krasinski, a charming salesman that loves to play pranks on his co-worker, Dwight Schrute, who is played by Rainn Wilson, who is an eccentric beet farming assistant to the regional manager. And Pam Beasley, who is played by Jenna Fisher, the receptionist with big dreams and is best friends with Jim. Now, The Office is the American version of the English original that was created by Ricky Gervais. Steve Carell, he was born in Massachusetts in 1962, and he graduated from Denison University in Granville, Ohio in 1984. In 1989, he moved to Chicago to join the renowned improvisational troupe named Second City. His film debut became known in 1991 with the movie Curly Sue. Well, his career continued with roles on The Dana Carvey Show in 1996, where he even wrote some of his own segments. His breakthrough came in 1999 when he joined The Daily Show, which is a satirical news program hosted by Jon Stewart. It was on this show that he gained popularity for segments like Even Steven, where he engaged in witty debates with his castmate, Stephen Colbert. For his portrayal of Michael Scott, Carell received numerous Emmy Award nominations, and in 2006, he won a Golden Globe. He did depart from the series in 2011, but while filming the TV series, he also gained attention from other box office hits like Bruce Almighty, Anchorman, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, and Little Miss Sunshine. In 2008, he starred as Maxwell Smart, a bumbling agent in the Get Smart adaptation, or TV adaptation, and voiced Gru in the Despicable Me series. He also received two nominations for the Joseph Jefferson Award for Actor in a Revue for two different plays at the Second City Theater in Chicago, Illinois, in 1993 and 1994. John Krasinski was born in Massachusetts in 1979. He is the youngest of three children. His early influences in the entertainment industry included comedians like Jim Carrey, the late Chris Farley, and Conan O'Brien. He played Little League with his friend BJ Novak, who later became a writer and actor in the series, which I didn't even know that. Novak even wrote the play that Krasinski first acted in high school. Krasinski attended Brown University, where he earned a bachelor's degree in English literature in 2001. While studying at Brown, he worked as a summer script intern on The Late Night with Conan O'Brien, one of his idols. After graduating, he landed small acting gigs while working as a waiter in New York City to pay the bills. In 2004, Krasinski secured small roles, but considered giving up acting. However, his mother encouraged him to persevere for a little longer. 3 weeks later, he had the opportunity to audition for The Office. Initially, the producers thought he should be casted as Dwight Schrute. But John held out for the role of Jim Halpert. He made the right decision, and he was cast as Jim. His friend BJ believed that his role that this role was meant for John because it felt so natural to him. John transitioned into directing and writing during the filming of The Office. His directorial debut came after he acquired the rights to the short story collection, primarily with the money he earned from the pilot episode of The Office in 2009. Jenna Fisher, she's actually named Regina Marie Fisher. She was born in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and was raised in St. Louis, Missouri. She earned a Bachelor of Arts in theater from the Truman State University, but worked as a receptionist and administrative assistant while pursuing her acting career. So I think this role was made perfectly for her. Fisher made guest appearances in various TV shows, including Spin City, What I Like About You, Strong Medicine, and Miss Match. In 2004, she wrote, directed, and co-starred in the mockumentary Lolly Love. This film follows a wealthy couple who attempt to make a positive impact by distributing lollipops with uplifting slogans to the homeless. Fisher's performance in Lolly Love earned her recognition, including the Screen Actors Guild Emerging Actor Award at the St. Louis Film Festival and the Trauma Dance Independent Solo Award at the American Film Market. Fisher gained further recognition for her role as Pam Beasley in the TV series The Office. Her performance in the show earned her an Emmy nomination for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series in 2007. Additionally, she shared the Screen Actors Guild Award for Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble in a Comedy Series with the entire cast that same year. Rainn Wilson, the actor who portrays Dwight Schrute in the popular TV series, was born in Seattle in 1966. He's the same age as my parents. He attended a high school in Illinois before pursuing his acting career. In 1989, he earned a Master's of Fine Arts degree in acting from New York University's Tisch School of the Arts. Wilson's acting career took off with various regional theater productions, off-Broadway shows, Broadway tours, and even Broadway itself. He made his television debut in 97 with several episodes of the soap opera One Life to Live. However, it was his role in the 1999 sci-fi comedy Galaxy Quest alongside Tim Allen that truly rose himself to fame. Following his breakthrough, Wilson starred in several other notable films, including the 2000 comedy Almost Famous with Kate Hudson. During this period, he also made guest appearances on various TV shows like Charmed, Dark Angel, CSI, Law & Order SVU, and Monk. In 2003, Wilson gained further recognition for his role in the critically acclaimed TV series 6 Feet Under. This show's ensemble cast won a 2004 Screen Actors Guild Award for Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble in a Drama Series. Let's talk about the themes of The Office. The show explores workplace relationships and found family. This showcases the unique bond formed between coworkers. It highlights friendships like Jim and Pam, rivalries like Dwight and Jim, and those awkward relationships like Michael and Dwight. It illustrates how the office dynamics can resemble a dysfunctional family. The show also shows the mundane aspects of everyday life, using humor to find meaning and joy in seemingly ridiculous meetings, the office pranks, and the holiday parties. Lastly, it emphasizes identity and personal growth, as many characters are stuck in their roles at Dunder Mifflin, but they harbor dreams of pursuing something more, like Pam's desire to pursue her art, or Jim's aspiration to become an entrepreneur. The supporting cast of characters, Oscar Martinez, Andy Bernard, or what we call the Nard Dog, Angela Martin, Kelly Kapoor, Meredith Palmer, Cree Bratton, Daryl Philbin, Kevin Malone, Stanley Hudson, Phyllis Vance, Jan Levinson, Ryan Howard, and everybody else. They add to the charm and hilarity of the series. Well, guys, that concludes the episode of Lounging with Lo. However, I'm going to be diving into these topics a little bit further in future episodes, so don't miss out on those. I genuinely appreciate your joining me on the episode. I do want to make an announcement that I will be taking a 2-week break. I know. You already had a break last week, but this time I'm actually going to take a mental break. I have another project I need to start working on, but don't worry. I will be returning back in April to discuss more intriguing topics. So this will give you guys plenty of time to listen to any episodes you may have missed, or if you want to listen to them with your friends and family, you're more than welcome to do that as well. So as always, as I say, thank you so much for joining me. Let's lounge together. Bye, guys.